Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings back in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 25th, 2013, episode 601, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, I hope everybody had a great weekend. I have a bit of what I like to call an Oscar hangover. I did watch the whole entire show. I did DVR it, so I did get to fast forward through the boring speeches, but that kept me up a little bit later than normal. And then I just couldn't sleep. This whole being pregnant thing is not conducive to sleeping. So when you're violently tossing and turning and your husband's like, oh, my God, are you ever going to go to sleep? It just, you know, and then you get stressed out about waking him up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm here on a Monday after a long week in Hawaii, and I'm glad to be back, sort of.
So you should have been well rested. You had a long week. Yeah, I know what you mean. You had that great week in Hawaii. And by the way, speaking of Hawaii, we got to see a picture of you pregnant on the beach. It wasn't in a bikini, but it was as close as I think we're going to get. But you look so happy.
Well, let me just tell you, it was happy we had just gotten there, and we realized we've been taking a, now this is definitely not for public consumption, but we've been taking a photo once a month of the belly and the belly shot. And every single one of the photos has been on my husband's iPhone, standing in our room, like wearing the sports bra and pajama pants, you know, like the same outfit. And he realized that he didn't take the last photo. So I said, well, pull over. We're doing it on the beach. So there was no going to be like in a bikini or sports bra on the beach in public. However, I thought this is as best as I'm going to get. And I actually posted it online so you would see it, Glenn. And it's definitely not a bikini picture, but there, that's as close as you're going to get.
Well, at least we had proof that you actually went to Hawaii. You know,
and I'm actually pregnant.
And you're actually pregnant, right? Exactly, because I haven't seen too many pregnant pictures. No, I think everybody else appreciated it, too. You looked very happy. So that was good. And then I got to see pictures from the golf course. Apparently, Chad went golfing. That'd be very difficult in your state right now, swinging clubs, wouldn't it?
I was a heck of a golf cart driver, though, let me tell you. That's
the
what
fun
I did.
Part of playing golf anyway.
I know. And it was really, really a cool place. It was, to me, like I said on Facebook, it was kind of a waste of good pasture. But the beauty of it was we were in like some crazy rainforest jungle. And then they just have kind of these areas carved out for golf. It's apparently one of the hardest golf courses in the entire country. And it was incredibly difficult. Not that my husband is a bad golfer, but it was hard for him to play. We lost a lot of balls, and he'd be like, okay, honey, go find me some more golf balls. So
that's the problem I always have when I play.
Yeah, and he's actually really good, but this course was ridiculous. I mean, if you went off the green, you were in the jungle. And it was like thick jungle where you can't even walk through it. So it was really entertaining, and I found a lot of Easter eggs, pretty much what I did at Easter egg hunt, and And then we limited ourselves to one activity a day. So I wouldn't let him push me, but we did hike a little bit, and we stand-up paddle boarded, and we also did some whale watching. So I saw the post
about that. And remember, before you went on vacation, we talked about the cruise ship and how you don't like cruises all that much. And then I saw your post about going whale watching and being the only one in the boat that was sick. And I said, well, there goes cruising forever for Jamie. She's probably not even going to get on a boat again.
No. I'm pretty positive. I'm 100% positive that I will never get on a boat ever again. And I realized because the last couple times I've been on boats, which are very sporadic, I've gotten sick for some reason or another. But this one was, it was really rough seas, and I really wanted to see some humpback whales, and it was only a two-hour cruise. So I'm like, I can make it for 2 hours. They don't go that far. So I get on the boat, I'm on the front, and everything was great. And it was rocky, and we're going up and down these waves, and I felt like I was on a cross-country course, and I was jumping, like, through the sunken road. Because it was, like, up, and then down, and then down, and then up. And I actually told John, like, I feel like I'm a Rolex jumping the sunken road through this choppy water. It was awesome. And then they went to turn around. And I apparently cannot go west or whatever, and proceeded to throw up the entire way home. I'm not talking about, like, oh, excuse me, I have to puke a little bit. I'm talking, they put me on the side of the boat, and I'm like, wah! All over the boat.
Sorry to everybody eating breakfast right now.
Everybody knows somebody who's been seasick, and it is just the worst torture imaginable. And I'm like, ask him how much longer, Chad. And Chad's like trying to be a good husband, standing behind me, and he's trying not to throw up because I'm throwing up. And he's like, how much longer? They're like, 20 minutes. They said 20 minutes for like an hour. Liar.
They know how to play the game.
Yeah. They're well-versed in people getting seasick. But, yeah, they put me on the side of the boat that the waves were coming in. So every time I puked, the wave would come in and wash it off the side of the boat.
All right, enough puke talk.
Too much.
We are going to be talking about.
I saw whales.
Good.
Oh, my God.
It would have really sucked had you not seen any whales when you were out.
I know that. I talked about that. I was like, I would have killed myself. Just if I didn't see any whales and then that happened, that would have been a bad day.
What's coming up today, Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, it is the morning after the Oscars, and a review of the winners and should have been winners will be awarded top billing. And nominated in the Travel and Leisure Short Format category, of course, we have Jamie Jennings' Hawaiian Vacation. Nominated in Favorite to Take the Statue in a Musical Family Working for Horse Welfare category, Amy Lee Nelson will take center stage a little bit later in the show. And, of course, the only nominee in Silly Horse Headlines by Possessed Horse Gal, Leslie Wiley, is here with the latest from Horse Nation.
That was really good. Wow, look at her getting in the Oscar spirit there. And I wanted to tell you guys, too, later on in the show after Leslie, in the third half hour, I have for you the recording from Johnny Depp was on Letterman and talked about how he almost killed himself on one of the horses on the set playing Tonto for the Lone Rangers. So I have that for you, too, a little later in the show. But right now, it's time for Daily Winnie. I have two of them today. My first Daily Winnie goes to all my fill-in co-hosts. We had KJ Jones last Monday, Lindsay White last Wednesday, and Dr. Wendy Ying filled in on Friday. Wendy did a great job with the really bad ads, Jamie. I got to tell you, though, she didn't do any Southern accents, but she did a couple Brooklyn bad guy accents that were
awesome.
Pretty good. Yeah, so she said, I can't do Southern like Jamie, and I can't do this as well as Jamie, so I'm just going to go back to my New England heritage. So she did some bad guy accents.
That's great.
We had a lot of fun, and Lindsay was so concerned that you were going to listen back and critique her. I said, no, she won't listen to the show. You don't have to worry about that, Lindsay. You're fine.
I don't even know what y'all talked about. I didn't care. I was in Hawaii. Whatever.
That's right. I said, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. All right, wait a second. My second daily mini goes out to Yudi for sending us a nice package. We got a package in the mail. You did too, right, Jamie?
Yes, I love her.
I know. She sent these decals of the Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network logo that we can put on stuff. And now I'm debating where to put it. They're really cool. She made them herself, right? I think
her husband did them. Yeah, she and her husband made them. And then
she
also sent me one for 3-day Adventures, which is so going on the back of my trailer. It's not even funny. It's so cute. And really, that was just so nice. Thank you so much, Yudi, for sending those, making those.
We have really cool listeners. Thank you, Yudi, for doing that. Appreciate it. If anybody else wants to send us gifts, I'll give you the address.
Well, just to catch you guys up from over the weekend, they're only doing updates every couple days now. But Rachel Alexandra, of course, 2009 Horse of the Year, was able to be taken off IV fluids and nutrition on, I believe, Saturday at Rood and Riddle. The vets are encouraged by her progress. She continues to recover from the abdominal surgery that she had on February 13th following the delivery of her foal. And just so you know, her foal has been taken care of. He is totally fine, and he has been with a nurse mare. And I was reading that they had the actual nurse mare's name, and I've lost it, but basically, it's really, really cute. I'll have to look it up here. But her condition is stable. She is such a fighter. This would have killed many horses. And she is remaining stable. She's out going for long walks now. I think she's been able to get treats and graze a little bit. They do say she has a bunch of hurdles to overcome, but they're very pleased with her progress. So we just continue to wish her and her connections the best. And we're thinking about you, Rachel. So sad.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, it's positive news, right?
It is positive news. It is very positive news. I mean, when I left on Sunday, I was thinking, oh, gosh, okay, please don't let anything happen to her while I'm gone. And I did keep up with Facebook just to kind of check on her for no other reason. I was just heartened with the news every day was better and better and better. So they're saying she's not out of the woods yet, but fortunately she is doing better.
Good. Very good. Well, you said you had an Oscar hangover last night, but this was probably the first time you had a hot Oscar hangover that wasn't directly related to booze.
Yeah, no, I just actually was just watching the show. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy, and I really wanted to see how he did. And as I'm watching it with my husband, we realized that we loved him, and we realized you probably hated him. But you didn't see the beginning. Like, this opening number, this opening set where Captain Kirk actually beamed down as Captain Kirk and did this whole deal with Seth MacFarlane ruining the Oscars and came back in time. You missed all of that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So I probably missed the good part. We came in a little bit later, and we only watched for about an hour. And in the hour I watched, he really wasn't even on that much. He told a couple bad jokes that didn't get laughs. But I can't really judge his performance because we didn't see him do that much, actually, in the time we watched.
Oh, yeah. He was really funny. I thought the beginning was very funny. I think he's gotten mixed reviews. Of course, you know, you're going to have people being positive and people being negative. But I thought he was quite funny. And there was a song he did about... And this is something you'll read about, but you have to hear the song. It's a song he did about boobs, actresses and their boobs. And basically he named every actress in the theater and then said what movie you saw her boobs in. And it was really
funny.
Now
that sounds like a song I would like.
I know. You're like, he's singing along and he's like, Charlize Theron, we saw your boobs in this movie, this actor. He just went through every actress and named the movie that they saw the boobs in, and it was very funny, I thought. But I thought he did a good job, and then, of course, the awards went on. Now, you and I had discussions about what movies, you know, I loved Les Mis and I loved Life of Pi. I didn't see Lincoln and I didn't see Django Unchained, but we both agreed that you thought, to me, the one the one fight that you and I had the most of was over Best Supporting Actress, where you were convinced that who was going to win.
Well, the supporting actress, I'm trying to remember who is. Actually, you know, I got to tell you that. Let me qualify this. We got to see Inside the Actor Studio yesterday with Hugh Jackman. Because I didn't see Les Mis, and neither would Jennifer and I ever see it, because I just don't do singing in movies. But we got to watch this Hugh Jackman, and this was a recent one that they just did. And they talked a lot about this movie and how they recorded it. It was one of the very few movies, that singing movies like that, opera-type singing movies, where they did not, where they didn't use a sound studio. They actually sang it on the sets, and they used the singing from the sets. Usually they do it in the sound studio, it's all controlled, and then they lip-sync their parts. They're singing it, but they lip-sync their parts. And this was one of the first one he said that they've ever done like this, where every actor and actress sang their own roles. Nobody was dubbed in, they didn't have professional singers, and they used the sound from the set. So when you heard them walking around, it was them walking around. So they actually did win for best sound editing. And after seeing that Inside the Actor Studio, I can understand why, because I really did understand it. And it did look like, if you're into those kind of movies, it looked like a terrific movie, and he did a good job, and she, of course, did a good job. But, you know, it's just not my cup of tea. But I just wanted to say that I appreciate it more having watched that.
Well, you were adamant that Sally Field was going to win for Lincoln because you said she did a great job. And I was adamant that Anne Hathaway was going to win because it, just in the clip that they showed of her last night, when they were like, okay, and the nominees are, and they showed all the clips, and then the Anne Hathaway clip is her, like, just bottom of the barrel, tortured, singing this song. I actually was brought to tears just watching that little clip again. It was so powerful, and she was the winner, so I win. And neither one of us won Best Picture, because the Best Picture went to Argo.
I do want to see Argo, though. That's one of the movies I do want to see. I wanted to see it in the theater, and we just never got there. But it does look like a good movie. I was also very adamant, even more than Sally Field, about Daniel Day-Lewis winning for Lincoln, and he did.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I was very adamant about that, because he was terrific. And then Best Actress, Silver Linings Playbook, is probably not a movie either one of us will ever see. So
I so can't wait to see that. if I could have gotten to any sort of emotional drama like that, are you kidding me? And throw Bradley Cooper in there, I'm in.
You're not going to make your husband go, are you?
No, that's the reason I haven't seen it yet, because he won't go.
That's right. Good, good. I feel for the poor guy. But and then you did pretty well, too, on another one of your favorite movies, Life of Pi, won for Best Director, won a couple of the production awards as well. So Life of Pi did pretty well.
Life of Pi did great. It was a fantastic movie. I do recommend you see that one. You guys would, I think you would appreciate it and you would like it. The Best Original Song went to Skyfall. I don't think that was any question.
Yeah, it should have. I mean, it was good.
It was really, really good. And Adele got up and performed, and it was just really, really a powerful, powerful
now,
song.
Are you a James Bond fan?
I've never been a James Bond fan until Daniel Craig.
Well,
Jennifer
has been a James Bond. Her whole family are James Bond fanatics. They've seen every movie since the beginning of time. I'm sort of semi, you know, I can take or leave them. I like the most recent ones. I like Skyfall. But what did bring back memories for us was the montage of the James Bond music that was played earlier. Where Jane, what's her name? Yeah, Goldfinger came, where she came out and sang that. That was terrific. I mean, for us, that really, every one of those songs, you know, we heard them on the radio over and over again. So for us, that really meant a lot. I think you had to be a little bit older to appreciate all of those the way we did.
Yeah, I would imagine. But yeah, 50 years of James Bond, that's really cool. And then you had the rest of the awards, your Best Animated Feature, which we talked about, definitely had to go to Brave. And it did. Cinematography, Life of Pi, visual effects, Life of Pi. Life of Pi took in a lot of those behind the scenes awards. But
I do have a question for you about Life of Pi. Considering your propensity for throwing up overside boats, how did you even watch that movie and not get sick in the theater? Because it was this guy in a boat the whole time.
Yes, it was, and that's what I appreciated. Is it wasn't me. It wasn't me in the boat with a tiger. Hey, watch that. It's good. And the book is such a beautiful story. And like the person who went up, and I think it was one of the behind the scenes, maybe the cinematography was, he walked up and he said, you know, in a movie where you have to decide whether everything is real or everything is fake, which is kind of the premise of the story, he's like, let me just tell you that everything we did was fake.
I know. That was funny.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great, especially when you know the story and you're like, what? What? But it was really good. I thought, and then there was a, at the very end, you can probably YouTube this, at the very end, Kristen Chenoweth came up on stage, and also Seth MacFarlane, and they sang a song to all the losers. It's called Here's to All the Losers. And that was what they sang after they announced Best Picture. So it was really, really entertaining. And I thought he did a good job. I'm interested to see what our listeners think about the Oscars. Yes, no, did you watch? Do you care? Are you tuning us out? Have you already turned off the show?
I did like the fact that they were really, really, really strict about cutting people off. And a couple people, they were still talking when the music gets louder and louder, and they're trying to get them to shut up and go away. And then they turn their mics off. They were really strict about it. I like
they
that.
They were. I love the Jaws theme music that they started playing as people started talking too loud. Dun 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 dun. It was great.
Oh well, that was fun. Well, in other news, we've had a little bit of excitement down here in Florida, especially Ocala, over at HITS, which is the big jumper show that goes on here over the winter in Ocala. They had a positive case of EHV1, and what they did is they quarantined the tent that they were all stabled in, tent number 7. And the Index Farm, which is the farm that the horse came from, and two other Ocala farms have all been quarantined, one in Pinellas Park and one in St. Augustine, and one apparently in Wellington, have all been quarantined. Any place that this horse resided recently is what they did. They thought they had another case in Wellington at the shows down there over the weekend. Horse came down with a fever. They brought in the state. They quarantined the facilities. They'd started the washing procedures where they wash you down every time you come in and out, all that stuff. And then the horse did test negative, so they've opened that up again. But the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center has inducted new restrictions. They're not taking any horses out of Ocala without a certificate that the horse does not have EHV1 within 24 hours that has to be done. They're being very careful about all the horses coming out of Ocala. They're being pretty strict down there, and they have to be. I mean, you have all the top priced horses in the country and some in the world in Florida right now. So when you have a case like this, they're being very careful.
They are, and as well they should. You know, this is an unfortunate disease and situation that, you know, when it happened here in Arizona, I mean, everything got canceled. Everything was shut down. Everything was canceled. And people were told to be careful where you're taking your horses. So I'm curious to see if that happens with all the horse shows down there, if they start canceling stuff. And I guess they're trying to find a couple more cases. I mean, we went from 1 to 10 in about an afternoon. So we'll have to see what happens.
Well, and right now there's only been one. So I think that's why, you know, there was word over the weekend that the state had limited horses in and out of Florida, and that apparently is not true. You still have to have your health certificates. Florida's tougher anyway on health certificates and things getting into Florida. And if you're anybody that's come into Florida, know if you're bringing horses in, you have to stop at the agricultural stations. So, you know, we're pickier about that. How many states have we driven through and never stopped anywhere, but not in Florida? You're going to stop and you're going to show the paperwork. So,
yeah, it seems like Florida and California will get you either way you go. But Florida is, they're just such a hotbed for horse activity right now, and it just could go so poorly so quickly. But I thought they were saying that you had to have a health certificate from the past 48 hours.
Well, that apparently there are conflicting reports on that, and what we're hearing now is the normal help. They have not increased what they're normally asking for. There was a rumor to that effect, but the latest I've read is that everything is normal at the stations at this point. So,
wow.
It goes up, back and forth, and of course there's always rumors when you have this kind of thing going on.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, if you just if you need to travel, just call the Ag Center and ask them directly. That'd be the best way to do it. And I think that number is actually on eventingnation.com if you want to find it. There was a when I landed in Hawaii yesterday. Well, we went from Hawaii to Los Angeles, and then we had to sit in Los Angeles and stare at a television for like 2 hours and in this tiny little. Club, what's it called? I'm drawing a blank here. The little area to sit before you hop on the plane. And it was on the side. It was very small. And there's only one TV. And there is a news story that was kept being replayed over and over and over again. And so I emailed it to Glenn and I said, we got to get this on the show tomorrow. This was huge news apparently in Los Angeles. There was a woman who was riding her horse on a San Dimas equestrian trail. And San Dimas is just kind of northeast of L.A. And I guess they have – I've driven through San Dimas. I don't know how they have any horse trails because it is a very, very busy area. It's like Norco. It's just they have a horse trail. I didn't see it because it's traffic. But there was a woman, they have a San Dimas equestrian trail, and there was a woman who was riding her horse named Mecca down the trail. And she's having a great day. It was beautiful out. She's, you know, she's 47 years old. And all of a sudden, she hears this noise and this growling. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, two pit bulls come galloping down the trail and attack her and her horse. She's riding this horse. She apparently had was on the horse, it grabbed the horse's leg, the horse fell over, it was such a dramatic event, loud noise, loud chaos, neighbors came running out who saw the attack, they had, the closest thing they could grab was flashlights, and they're hitting the dogs with the flashlight. Well, then one of the dogs
latches. That's brave to begin with, geez.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the dogs latches onto the horse and locked on its leg, and if you know about pit bulls, you can't get them to let go of stuff. They're lockjaw grip. And once it had locked onto this horse's leg, well, finally, Texas justice prevailed and somebody came out and brought a gun. And they had to shoot the dogs. The one dog who had latched on his leg, they had to shoot him several times, like 4 to 5 times, a dog to get him to stop biting the horse. And the other dog apparently did not get killed, but they animal control officers came, police came, and I guess it was pretty quick response. It was just before 9 in the morning. The horse suffered a huge wound on his leg. The rider was actually hurt, but is going to be okay. The problem is they don't know if the dogs came from somebody's backyard or from a pit bull rescue that is in the area. Either way, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, this is terrifying when you think about it. And we've all had the situation where we've had dogs run out at us, you know, whether you're on horseback or you're riding your bike or you're just walking, you're just hiking. I mean, we've all had that situation. And, you know, if the dogs are intent on hurting you, it's scary. It is really, really scary. And, you know, pit bulls just by appearance tend to look scarier anyway. There's a certain breed. You know, if it's a chihuahua, you're probably thinking you could drop kick the thing. But you're not going to do that with a pit bull. So it is terrifying when something like this does happen and gets out of control.
Yeah, it really does.
And who knows, you know, you talk about guns and whether you agree or disagree, if this guy didn't have that gun, who knows what would have happened? You know, because you're right. You're not going to beat him off with a flashlight.
No, they're
tougher than that. Yeah, but, well, what a story. So that hit the news out there big time, huh?
That was big news in L.A. yesterday morning, and maybe it was just in this little area that I was, but my gosh, it was pretty big news, and we're just glad everybody's okay. Well, hey, let's do our commercial for Omega Alpha,
okay,
because I've got our first guest on the line, and I'm very excited to talk to her.
Hi,
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Pace, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And we would like to welcome to the show and thank you for joining us, Amy Lee Nelson. Amy, good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. We're good. Where in the country are you so we can know if you're awake or not?
I'm barely awake, and I'm in Austin, Texas, so I'm on Central Time.
Okay, you're on Central Time. Yeah, it's still early, especially for a musician. I mean, you guys usually sleep until noon, right?
Yeah, I have a really weird schedule. I have no schedule.
Well, yeah. I'm going to introduce you to everybody as, from the band Folk Uke, and you are also a huge, huge fan of the Mustangs, as am I. And you're also, may I say, you have a little bit of a famous dad.
A little bit, yeah. It's pretty famous.
So the daughter of Willie Nelson has her own band, of course, as I can imagine you doing nothing else besides music. And you have a big, you have a kind of a history with horses. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I guess it started with from childhood. We always had horses around, and ever since I can remember, we always were raised around horses, and we just knew them as members of the family. So we were pretty, all of us were shocked to find out that people were actually eating horses, and that American horses were getting shipped overseas for to be end up on plates. And then we were also shocked to find out that the wild horses that were supposed to be protected and that were voted to be protected by the American public have actually been being rounded up for years now by the BLM, the actual entity that was supposed to protect them. So, we got pissed off about that.
I would imagine. And I know that your dad is your dad is no slouch when it comes to rescuing horses and doing things. He's taken many horses that were needed a lot of help and has taken them personally to y'all's ranch in Texas.
Yeah, about 73, I think now. he adopted most of the horses that he has. He adopted from Habitat for Horses. Yeah, we had some other. We probably had about 15 on the ranch before he started adopting from Habitat for Horses. They're somewhere just under 80 now, I think. But, we met Habitat for Horses when we were lobbying in Washington for the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act about 8 years ago now. But we met the Habitat for Horses people, and they mentioned that they had some horses that they really needed to find homes for. And my dad just said, all right, bring them on. So we started out with 12, and then at 10, where there were 10 more, and then 10 more. They came in tens mostly. So now we've just, and a lot of them were pregnant when they arrived. So that, we had some babies that were born on the property and all the citizens of Lux, Texas. And so, it's been great. And we started adopting them out through this Willie Signature series through Habitat for Horses, and then we did it for a while, and then we stopped because Dad had a hard time letting go of them, which was initially the reason he was going to hold them and adopt them out, and then Now he's realizing that it can do more good for the horses if he does let go of some of them a few at a time. So there's four of them up for adoption, and we've put out a press release. And with the press release, we're trying to alert the public to what's going on. Because it seems like as much press as we've done, there's so many people that have no idea that this is going on.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't just take the Mustangs. I mean, there's a lot of horses. You Google Willie Nelson and horses, and he's taken burned horses and starving horses. And I understand that, you know, it's got to be tough to be able to let them go because you just don't trust to where they're going to go all the time. And I have a hard time myself letting go of rescue horses. Trust me, I have a backyard full of them. So what is the website people can go to see these horses and learn about the ones that are adoptable?
They can go to habitatforhorses.org to find out about adopting horses. And they're a wonderful organization. They do a lot to help horses and they work with the police and do seizures, and they're just they're an excellent organization. So we're lucky to be associated with them. And also, Animal Welfare Institute is the lobbying organization that we've been working with for almost a decade now. And so you can go to Animal Welfare Institute site, which is awionline.org. to learn about to be brought up to date about what's going on in D.C. and with the horse bill. They're about to reintroduce a horse bill, it's pretty much the same bill as the American Horse Water Prevention Act and the Prevention of Equine Cruelty Act. It hasn't had a title. You know, it doesn't have a title yet. We don't know what the bill's going to be called. We don't know what the number is, but it will be introduced pretty soon, and we're going to start educating the new members of Congress, or re-educating some of them about what's going on. And there still is a bunch of support in Washington and D.C. for a federal ban on horse slaughter. So we're confident that we can get it passed. We're just going to keep at it.
Well, and obviously we are big supporters and big fans of that as well. And, I got to tell you that when I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, I did some fundraising for the Humane Society trying to get the slaughter ban passed. And when, just at a very grassroots level, I had, like a little auction, and I just had a little fundraiser for myself, just kind of in my area. And when you... contact, there's something that you believe so strongly in that you yourself go out and try to support that, and then you go online and you see that, one of your heroes, Willie Nelson, is supporting the same thing, and his family and the whole Nelson family, it lends credibility to what I felt like I was doing. And I just want to thank you guys for being so involved and for giving voices to those that don't have them.
Thank you. Yeah, we always get excited when we find other people that are doing the same thing as well, or just any time you find someone who's compassionate or a rescuer. But there's a lot of great people that are out there working. Bo Derek's been doing a lot of work for the horses for years.
She's
going
amazing.
To Europe to educate them about, going to Canada and Europe. She's been going all over the world to educate people and educating the racehorse industry, and she's just she's really awesome. We've met her and met up with her in D.C. a few times now.
She's very active.
And her husband, or boyfriend, John Corbett as well.
They're amazing horse advocates, that's for sure. And they have just thank you for being a part of it. And I don't want to just sit here and I want to get more involved because all of our listeners are horse fanatics, obviously, as well, and horse rescuers. But we're also music fans. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your band. Tell us about it.
Well, I've been playing in a duo, a folk duo, for the last, 12 years now. Our band is called Folk Uke. And my partner is Kathy Guthrie, who's Arlo Guthrie's daughter and Woody Guthrie's granddaughter, and she's one of my best friends, and we just have a great time together, and we've put out a couple of albums.
And where can people find out a little bit more? You have a Facebook page and a website?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, and we also have folkuke.com. It's like folk and then uke, like ukulele. So it's folkuke.com. And, yeah, so you can check out our music there and kind of connect it on Facebook and that sort of thing. And, yeah, we have a couple albums out, and we have a lot of fun.
And you're also doing some of your music to raise money for, I believe, the Animal Welfare Institute.
Right. Well, we put out one track. We did a family version of Wild Horses, and we put that out about a year and a half ago. And so that's available on iTunes. I think that's still with Lily and the Nelson family, Wild Horses, and all of the proceeds go to Animal Welfare Institute. To raise awareness for horse slaughter and also for the wild horses. And then we're also working on a new track. My brother Luke wrote a song called All the Pretty Horses, so now we're working on an all-star version of that. So we're pretty excited about the possibilities.
Your dad singing a song with the word horses in it has proven to be pretty darn successful. So if he
donates
a tenth of this, you'll be in good shape, and the horses, I'm sure, will be very, very happy. So if you want to adopt Willie Nelson's horses, go to habitathorses.org. You can click right on the front, and it's Willie Nelson's Signature Series Horses, and there's four stinking cute ones for adoption: Medicine Man, Good Time Charlie, Rebel, and Heart. All very adorable paint horses that need a home. And just give your dad a big hug from us and tell him thanks for doing what he's doing. And make, I got to tell you, when I got married, we danced to one of my father's daughter dances to one of your dad's songs. So we've been fans for a long time. Well, it's going to sound funny, but my family is very Southern and they're from Georgia. And so we had to dance to Georgia.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah, he sings that wonderfully.
Yes, sure he does.
Yeah.
I grew up in the pickup truck, in my dad's pickup truck, listening to your dad's music. I mean, things like Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, all the way to the classics. So, I'm a huge fan, and it was so cool to have you on the show. And to hear that you're involved in horses and saving horses just makes me love you guys even more.
Well, thank you. We love you, too. We'll have to stick together and help these horses.
Absolutely. You can go to folkuke.com to check out Amy Lee Nelson's music. You can also find her on Twitter, on Facebook. And we do appreciate everything that you guys do. And we hope you come on the show again.
Thank you.
If you ever have any news you want to deliver, please do it here.
I would love to. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Well, there you go. There are more and more people coming out for the Mustangs, and we've had a lot of them here on the show, whether they're big names or not, but certainly having the big names on board helps get the exposure out there. And let's hope that this bill actually does something and goes somewhere and we can get it put back in place again.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let's take a little bit of a break. We have a commercial coming up. Plus, I thought I'd give you some Jared Rogerson to welcome you back. His song Addicted, which is a lot of fun. And then we're going to come back with Leslie Wiley. We have Johnny Depp on the Letterman Show. We have the audio for that about his little horse incident. And more coming up shortly. We'll be right back.
Hi all, Glenn the Geek here, and we are excited to bring you a special offer for Horse Radio Network listeners from one of my favorite companies, and that is Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, sports, and so much more. Audible titles play on your iPhone, your Kindle, your Android, or more than 500 different devices that you can listen anytime, anywhere. My wife and I love Audible books. We've been a member of Audible since 2004 and have listened to over 100 books with Audible. What horse person, who has time as a horse person to sit down and to read a book anymore? yet I found the time to listen to books on Audible. When I'm not listening to podcasts, while I'm riding, cleaning stalls, or at the gym, or driving, I'm listening to Audible books. And for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/HRN. That's audibletrial.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network. And you can download your free audiobook and get your 14-day free trial today. If you can't remember that, just check out our website and you'll find a link to it right there. Enjoy your book. We know you will. Well, that was Jared Rogerson, and that was his song, Addicted. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I am back here with Jamie Jennings, returned from her vacation. Of course, Coach Jen is over in the producer chair, and today's show is brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, we have to give a shout-out, I think, because she's hot. And that's to Danica Patrick for doing better than any woman has ever done in the Daytona 500 yesterday.
We're not huge NASCAR fans here, but we became a little bit of NASCAR fans when my nephew actually worked in the pit crew for one of the teams years ago, and we started watching just to see him on TV. But we watched it yesterday because, you know, Daytona's about an hour from us, and we've been to that racetrack and toured it, and we wanted to see it now that we've toured the racetrack, and we ended up watching most of the race because of Danica Patrick. And she came in eighth, did very well, led the race for a couple of laps, and was in second or third most of the way, and she's a rookie this year, and they, you know, they were concerned about how she would do and could she stay up with the big boys, and she proved that she could. And I've got to imagine GoDaddy is very happy right now.
Well, okay, I have a dumb question. If she's a rookie, what the heck has she been doing this whole time? Like,
she's been
other
racing
cars?
She's been racing. She actually started in go-karts when she was a kid and worked her way up to dirt tracks, and she's been doing some of the lesser races, not the top tier races, so she's been working her way up through the ranks. And last year she did do some NASCAR races, about 10 of them, but this year is her first year where she's officially going to be in the running and going to race in every race this year. And she has a good team, obviously. Her car was very well placed. She did very well. She didn't make any mistakes, and she proved herself to the boys yesterday.
I saw that the news was on. You know, my husband, I swear every time you turn on the TV, it automatically turns to SportsCenter. And I saw them talking about it and talking about her. And I was just kind of curious. To me, watching a little bit of the coverage, it seemed like she won the race. But is that just because it's a big deal?
It's a big deal. And she basically brought a lot of people like me and probably Jennifer. We watched the race because she was in it. So I think it's probably good for the sport to have her doing so well. And it doesn't help that she's super hot. And it doesn't help, you know, or it doesn't hurt that she's super hot. I mean, you know, that helps the whole thing. And she's cute and she's bubbly and she's fun. You know, that helps.
Well, girl power to her. I can't watch a race without seeing Ricky Bobby out there running around in his underwear. So that's what I see.
You're scarred.
That's what I think. He's scarred. And him and the other
now,
guy.
There's a movie there's a movie we can agree on. I like that movie too.
So if you're not first or last, okay, that's what I think of.
Matter of fact, I want to watch that movie again now that you brought it up. I got to look for that on Netflix.
Well,
and of course they did.
You said she didn't win. I'm like, all I could think of is, you're not first or last, Ricky.
there was a woman, I don't remember her name, back in 1980, long time ago, that came in 11th in the Daytona. She was one of the very few other women that ever have raced in with the boys. Oh, Janet Guthrie. That's right. Janet Guthrie was her name, and she came in 11th back in 1980. So this is the highest ranking woman and the only woman to ever lead laps like that. She's the only woman ever to be on the pole. She won the.
Do you hear what I just said, Glenn?
I know. Think about it.
She's the only woman ever to be on the pole. I beg to differ.
You dirty-minded women.
That's funny. Both of us thought of that at the same time.
Now, did you see about
the pole?
Did you see about the accident in Saturday's race? It went car. Crashed in the last lap and went up, pieces of it went through the fence and hurt for about 14 people. Two of them are in critical condition right now. It was bad. That was a bad crash, yeah.
That's terrible, and it makes you realize, just like going on a cruise, I'll never go to a race.
Just sit higher up in the stands. That's where you need to be. You need to be higher up.
You know, I'm going to tell you, when I was in Atlanta, and this is going to tell you a little tale on my fighter pilot husband. I actually was doing country music, and I had to go to the Atlanta Motor Speedway for whatever the big race they have there every year. And so me, I am like the least of a NASCAR fan on the planet. I really don't care all that much. I'm not into cars. I'm into horses. Let's be honest. I love the horses. To me, cars is just kind of a waste of time when you love horses. And so I had to go to the Atlanta Motor Speedway and like interview drivers and go down in the pit. And these are all things that I realized as I'm doing them, that there were people that would probably, you know, cut off their left hand to be able to do. And so I'm sitting there in press conferences with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the guy in the Claritin commercials and the other guy from the other commercials. That's all. So I'm in there. And so I just started dating Chad. And, you know, I don't think he was threatened per se, but, you know, it can probably be intimidating when your new girlfriend lives across the country and is spending her day with NASCAR drivers. So I get this text message from him. I'm walking around down in the thing. I get my little pass and I'm going to some other press conference and I look down and I have a text message that says, "Hey babe, don't forget, those guys wish they were me."
And that's probably true.
I guess. You know, it's like if you ask a NASCAR driver if you could do anything else, they'd probably say fighter pilot.
Yeah. That is probably true. That's funny.
Oh, I was like, that's my boyfriend.
You know, I hate to say it, Chad, but he kind of has the look of a NASCAR driver because they all have that clean-cut sort of, you know, boy-next-door look.
You know what? I got to disagree because since he's been in Hawaii, he grew a beard and he looks like a disaster.
He's actually going to have to shave that off when he goes back to work, huh?
Yeah, it's coming off right now, I would imagine.
That's funny. Well, anyway, there's our shout out to the hot Danica Patrick. Hey, I was thinking, you know, you talk about speed and stuff. And I was thinking earlier when you were talking about golf and, you said you were driving a golf cart. And I got to thinking, you know, that's the most fun. That was always the most fun part of playing golf. Jennifer loved to drive the golf cart. We drive cars at 70 miles an hour on the highway all the time. But yet driving a golf cart's a blast. I don't get that.
True. Yeah, I don't think I would win any races like Danica Patrick. But it's definitely entertaining, especially going through jungles and stuff. Why is that so fun?
I don't know. It is. It's a great time. You're only going about 8 miles an hour, you know, or 10 at the tops because they regulate them. But I worked for a company that we played a lot of golf when I was back in my investment days, and they would rent the entire golf course, and there was always drinking involved, and one or two of them always ended up in the lake, and they would have to buy them after. So yeah, that was
people or golf balls or golf carts.
Golf carts.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, I was never responsible for driving one in the lake. I'll have you know, darn close, but I never had to pay for a golf cart.
That's just because you jumped out before it got there and blamed somebody else.
Those are my wilder things.
Yeah, I know you. Hey, on that,
good to have you back, Jamie.
That got me thinking. And I used to get yelled at this all the time as a little kid. We had horses in the backyard. We were a horse family. Yet every time we would go to a fair or some kind of a public event where they had pony rides, I would insist that I had to have a pony ride. I had to have a ride on the mechanical pony in front of the grocery store where you put the quarter in. And my mom would always give me crap because, well, I'm sorry, we have our own ponies. We don't need to spend money on the pony ride or the mechanical pony. Isn't that what all horse kids do? It doesn't matter if you have a pony in the backyard. You still need to ride the pony ride, and you still need to rent the pony on vacation, and you still need to ride the pony in front of the grocery store.
You know, yeah, you'll sit there and pay $125 to go on a 30-minute trail ride on the beach, and then then you realize you have a horse in your backyard, and that was four riding lessons.
Yeah, but you got to do it.
True. Good way to look at it.
Hawaii?
What?
Did you rent ponies in Hawaii?
You know, I wanted to because there's a place you could go riding on the beach. There was another place that, where they filmed a lot of the Lost episodes, and you can rent horses and go tour a lot of these places. And I'm going to let you know that I was discriminated upon. I was not allowed to do anything fun. Because
the big sign said, no pregnant women like you.
Exactly. It was total crap. And I'm like, if only you knew what I was doing at home on my horses, your little walkie-walkie trail ride is nothing.
That's their insurance company.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I didn't get to ride any horses, but definitely beautiful when you drive through Hawaii and you look off to the side and there's these horses that are so fat because they're standing about shoulder high in thick, lush grass. And that is, it just rains so much there, and they just have, I just thought, my horses wouldn't know what to do leaving the desert and going to Hawaii. First of all, they probably founder in the first 5 minutes they were there, but they would have a really good time before they did founder.
Before they died.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought about you as we were watching Hawaii 5-0 last week. Jennifer loves Hawaii 5-0. So we were watching Hawaii 5-0. And if you watch Hawaii 5-0, you think that there is nothing but mayhem and murder that happens in Hawaii. That there are shootouts and people getting killed on every street in Hawaii. So we were concerned for you last week because, you know, I was just convinced that you were going to be on a Hawaii 5-0 series here soon.
No, I didn't face any of that. I think maybe we that was a different part of the island. The murder takes part in. I was on the peaceful side.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we have coming up. Every week, we have Leslie Wiley with us here from Horse Nation, and she is back again this week. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Woo-hoo!
Good. Hey, well, it's good to have you back. Now, you deserted your husband again?
Again.
Did he that this was going to happen when you guys got married? Did he know that you were just going to up and leave every time the mood struck you?
I think he had some suspicions, yes. I ran off to Aiken again for another week, just to take some lessons, and then I'm doing an event this weekend. So
you brought your horse, and you're going to be, what level are you riding this weekend?
We're doing an intermediate prelim, which has intermediate dressage and stadium. And then it has, you do prelim cross country. And so this is our first event of the season. So it's kind of a good, I think it's nice, a nice way to ease him in.
Is that something new? Is that something new?
The
combination?
You know, it's, it's been becoming more and more frequent the last 5 years. And it's a great thing, you know, because people can kind of get their horses, you know, it's, they've got green horses or maybe they're new to the level themselves. They can sort of get their feet wet. You can't mess up too badly doing a, I mean, well, you can mess up, but you can't, you know, get hurt doing a dressage test that's, you know, maybe – a new level, a higher level, and then you can sort of, you know, give the stadium a go and feel it out, and then you don't have that big cross country course to do. So there's quite a few like training prelim intermediate events. So kind of
a great halfway
step.
That's terrific. Well, I know you came on to talk about some stories from Horse Nation in the past week, and I thought that our co-host of the Dressage radio show, Reese Koffler-Stanfield, she has an absolutely beautiful tack room in her barn, and I thought hers was spectacular until you posted this article last week called 19 Tack Rooms That Are Nicer Than Your House. And
oh, my goodness.
You could add 19 tack rooms that are nicer and bigger than your house. You could have added that in there. These things are incredible.
Yes, they're incredible. We've got, I mean, some that are, you would kind of expect, you know, we've got the a picture of the tack room at the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, which is just, as you would expect, I mean, it's just spotless, completely uniform, everything matches, everything is perfect. You know, you can tell that it's, you know, it's just, everything is to a standard there. And then just, you know, tack rooms in people's barns that are just amazing. Like there's one that has like a palm tree sort of growing up in the middle of it, like a centerpiece. There's others that could be in interior design magazines. There's some sort of workmanlike ones that are simple, you know, not too many frills, but they're just gorgeous. And it goes on and on, chandeliers, and there's one, there's another tack room that has, the horse's shipping halters in these illuminated display cases, you know, and there's a, a bottle of champagne on ice, you know, outside the door, and oh goodness.
You do that in your barn every day, don't you, Leslie? Have a champagne on ice, ready to go at moment's notice.
What? But I will say, I managed a barn once that just had a ridiculous, I mean, it was a ridiculous tack barn, but it was the tack room was just over the top. There was a chandelier, a fully stocked sweat bar, flat screen TV, leather couches, marble countertops, fireplace, you know, everything. The saddle and bridle racks were all brass. And it was my job, of course, to keep this thing spotless. And so, it was, you know, it's constant. Like, you shouldn't have to dust in a tack room, right? You shouldn't have to do that.
You know, one of the barns that Jennifer worked at up in the North Shore of Boston, they would polish the walls. And you can tell a lot of these pictures that you have here, they're polishing those walls every week, you know. They have cases of Pledge there because they just are beautiful. What's the fanciest one that you've ever been in, Jamie?
I was just about to say, I'm going to have to send Leslie some pictures of when I was in Spain. It kind of looks like one of the ones you guys have pictured. I think it's the Adirondack, or the palm tree in the middle, but not quite that southern or that Florida. But the one in Spain, which is basically the Spanish riding school in Jerez, Spain, where it was just the most amazing tack room ever. And the pictures don't do it justice because I took them. But I'm going to send you those because, to me, what I'm looking at is it would blow any of these away.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, insane. Oh, yeah. Like, I was photographing their tack room. That's how nice it was.
I like the tack room here that has the cases that the halters hang in. The halters with their fuzzies are hanging in cases. This isn't the bridle. This is the halter.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Obviously, like, Glenn, it's just for the shipping halters. It's not everyday halters. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, goodness. I mean, what if your boots are muddy? Do you have to take your boots off before you walk into the tack room? I don't know. I don't think I could handle it.
Yeah, I know. We did like to be a little messier as a group. And then this has been going around, and I haven't looked at it. I haven't followed it at all. And that is the Harlem Shake. What the heck is the Harlem Shake?
Well, you know, you remember Gangnam Style, of course.
Right.
Because, you know. So this is sort of a new viral thing that the kids are doing. I didn't know about it myself, but a couple of readers sent me emails to alert me. You know, they're always trying to keep me abreast of what's hip and cool and what's happening, which I appreciate because I'm neither hip nor cool. It's called the Harlem Shake. It's people make, I don't know how it really got started. I think somebody in Australia made this video. So they're about 30 second videos. And, so it sort of starts, the video starts with somebody sort of in a normal setting, and they're kind of breaking it down, and nobody seems to notice that they're breaking it down. And then halfway through the song, like the sort of the beat changes of the song, and then suddenly, without changing the camera, everybody is in costume and just freaking out, dancing, and so there's like, I mean, I think at one point there was like, you know, thousands of these videos being uploaded to YouTube every day. And, of course, you know, horse people got to get on the action. And so I went through YouTube and just tried to scrounge around for videos of people doing this at various barns, and we've got a video posted of the Ethel Walker equestrian team doing the Harlem Shake. It's really funny. Texas A&M's equestrian team, and then various other people that have.
I like the one with the mower. I like the one with they had the guy with the mower coming through. That's funny.
thing about having horses in the, because they're like, at first they're like, okay. And then everybody's freaking out and dancing, got these giant costumes on, and the horses are just like, what? I am out of here. What is wrong with the people, the human race has finally gone completely insane.
I still find disturbing, I'm watching another one of these, and I still find disturbing the horse heads that have become so popular, the costume horse heads.
Yeah,
they are disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't care who they're on or what situation you're seeing in, they're just disturbing.
They're disturbing. I was hoping that those maybe were going to fizzle out, you know, maybe that was like a 2012 thing, but it's you know, they've got staying power, apparently.
You do find the weirdest stuff. Yeah, but you actually get paid to do this, right?
Isn't that wild?
I know. You look around the internet for the weirdest stuff and post it, and it becomes immensely popular. And, of course, you had one last week because, you know, we've had Gypsy Vanner people on here. We have listeners that own Gypsy Vanners, and there is nothing cooler than pictures of Gypsy Vanners with their mane flowing and their tail flowing and after they're all brushed up because, you know, it's got to take a week to get them to that point.
Oh,
but you did an article called 22 Gypsy Vanners Being All Gorgeous. And they just are incredible looking animals. And I like draft horses anyway. And they're very drafty, Gypsy Vanners. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm partial.
Yeah, I'm like, are they for real? Like, is this Photoshop? Did they Photoshop that vein
no.
on? No.
No. No, that's the way they are.
The way they are.
That's
wild.
Why Jennifer said I can never own one. Is because that's the way they are.
You just have to buy stock in Shoshin, I guess.
Yeah,
you
buy stock in every cleaning company around because most of them have white on them, and then their manes, a lot of them are white. And can you imagine the hours it takes to keep these bodies clean?
Oh, my goodness. No way. No way. I'll take my Plymouth Bay horse any day.
And their hair is so thick. Can you imagine? I mean, we have our little wimpy horses, you know, thoroughbreds, with their little wimpy manes, and, you know, brushing them and keeping them and their tails clean is a pain. Jamie, can you imagine these thick, huge manes that are down to their ankles?
You know what? And they also, because I worked at the vet clinic where they do a lot of the breeding with the gypsies, and you know, to me, it's a little, they're a little hair crazy. Like, the horses get giant nose hairs that come out of their nose, and you're not allowed to trim. Dude, it's crazy. They get nose hair, ear hair, any hair that grows out of them, you do not trim. You do not comb. You just let it grow. It's a little bizarre, but working with, you know, being around the Andalusians and Frisians and stuff, oh, my God, it's insane, the amount of hair. I'm so glad my thoroughbred has a wispy tail.
Right.
And our quarter horse, we wish he had a forelock. He doesn't have any. It's just this one little hair sticking out the front. It's just gone. He doesn't have any. I've been trying to find some formula to put on it so he could grow one out and look normal, but he doesn't have any. So we have just the opposite problem. He has male pattern baldness. these are some great pictures there. Really are. And what else is going on over at Horse Nation?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hoping you guys need to keep it tuned all week. I'm hoping I'll stumble across some fun things here in Aiken to write about or some fun people to interview. We've still got our No Stirrup Challenge going on. So that's exciting. I think it's like 65 or 70 people that have verbally committed, you know, that they wanted to give up stirrups for Lent. So we've got about 46 day. I think it's 46 Lent is 46 days this year. So we're in week one into that, and we've got every Wednesday we have sort of a support group meeting where people can you know, vent and talk about their sore thighs and whatnot, and also, you know, give everybody a little boost of encouragement. So that's That's exciting. And, you know, last week, as far as what's going on with you guys, I was so excited to be get to play the Wheel of Fortune show.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the Wheel of Trivia will be back on Wednesday. We forgot to announce that earlier in the show. And I'm so glad that you got to play as well. We'll have some new prizes. We have some new prizes coming in from companies every week, so we'll have some new stuff on the wheel this week. We had a blast. Lindsay did a great job asking the questions, although I think that some people couldn't understand her accent. That posed a bit of a problem. But, it was a lot of fun, and we'll be doing that. Give us a call at 347-637-3238 at 9 o'clock or 9:05, around there, on Wednesday morning for a Wheel of Trivia. And I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot to mention it.
Yeah, that was tons of fun. And it was fun listening. Your listeners are so smart. I mean, the questions weren't, you know, they weren't exactly easy. And I don't, did anyone, I totally lost big time, but but I don't know if anyone, I think everyone else answered their questions correctly, right?
Yeah, we tried, Jamie, remember the first week, it was so easy that people were just going bum, 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 and everybody got everything. Well, we tried to make the questions harder this week. And we have smart, they had no time to Google it because, you know, they just got them right away. it was amazing how smart our listeners are. We really do. Even the nine-year-old, we had the first caller was like a 9 or 11-year-old. And and they even got the correct answer. It was like, oh, man.
Really?
Yes. We have some smart listeners out there. But
we
you can call back in, too. Everybody can call every week. We're not putting limitations on that. And if you can get through, that's terrific. So what question did we ask you? I've forgotten now.
You asked me, I think you even gave me two chances, and I failed both times. One was, how much saliva does a horse produce every day?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I think I guessed like 5 different things, and they were all wrong. And then you asked me how many bones a horse has in its body, which is actually something I believe I knew at one point in my Pony Club career. Because since, you know, I've fallen off and hit my head too many times to remember that kind of stuff. So,
Well, you tell all the listeners that are scared to call in and play that game that it was fun anyway, wasn't it?
It was so fun anyway. I was so excited. I felt like I was on The Price of Right, like running down the aisle.
You know what? That's as close as any of us are ever going to get to The Price is Right, so I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, yeah. It was worth it. It was worth it.
Thank you, Leslie. You can find Leslie at horsenation.com. We'll talk to you again next week or on Wednesday if you get through.
All right. Have a great week.
All right,
Leslie, just so you know, I've emailed you the pictures of the Spain tack room, so there you go.
Okay, I'm so excited. Okay.
And have a good week in Aiken.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We did have a good time last week with the game. We had we had a lot more callers. I don't know, it must have been over 20 calls. We had a lot more callers than we could get on, so get your calls in early and hang on the line, because we take a lot of calls. It's not just one and done. So if you didn't get a chance to play before, you have off work on Wednesday, or you can take a break and sneak in a call, do it, because it's a lot of fun, and we have great prizes. We gave away
seriously, who can't go to the bathroom? Just go to the bathroom and make the call.
We gave away hundreds of dollars in prizes that day. I think we gave away a total of 5 prizes. So it was a lot of fun. Well, I teased this earlier in the show. Johnny Depp, of course, is coming out in what? It's going to be an Oscar movie for sure, I think, and that's the Lone Ranger movie. It's coming out later in the summer, I believe. Jennifer could probably answer that better. Of course, Johnny Depp has played a number of roles that require some action and him to do some of his own stunts. Well, he got to ride a paint as Tonto, the Native American warrior, as they say, Tonto, in the Lone Ranger film, and he apparently had an incident with his horse the one day, and he tells about it on the Letterman show. So do you want to hear that? Here is
yes.
Okay, here we go. This is on Letterman.
This looks like a painting. This looks like a Charles.
You're looking at a picture of him riding his horse.
That's fantastic. You look
going very fast.
You look like you know what you're doing on a horse.
Yeah, I don't. That was probably about 2.5 seconds before everything went very sideways.
But I'm telling you, I mean, forget the movie. I'd pay $10 just to look at this picture. But you ride. You don't ride?
I've ridden quite a lot in various movies and stuff. And, you know, growing up in Kentucky, you grow up around horses and everything. But every horse is different and everything.
Sure.
So,
yeah. So you had to ride that horse at top speed?
Quite a lot, yeah.
How did that go?
Went pretty well up until a point, yeah. There was one moment in particular where it got unpleasant, where the horses had been running. We'd been running them all day, so they weren't really interested in slowing down at all. So we went to we were shooting in a different place in the desert where there are these, you know, there are little bumps and things growing. And so my horse that I was on decided to jump a couple of these little obstacles. Horse was unaware that the saddle I was wearing to sit on top of it was sort of jerry-rigged, kind of faked.
It was to give the effect that you were riding bareback, the horse.
To give the effect that I'm riding bareback. So basically, it's not really tight on the horse. It's just enough to...
Yeah, just a little tissue there for you to sit
essentially
on.
Essentially, yeah. A Band-Aid. And when we came down, I went to the saddle slipped, you know, and I went to the left and had the reins here and somehow had the wherewithal to grab the mane of the horse. And then the next thing I saw, all very calm for some reason. I figured that fear would kick in, but it didn't. I was waiting. All I saw were in front of my eyes were the sort of these very muscular horse legs, and the striations of muscles moving, this kind of death machine. And one word popped into my head, hooves.
Hooves.
You know? Hooves.
Hooves.
In any case,
hooves. Yeah.
Mind the hooves.
So what do you do when you're in that position?
Well, you make a decision.
Yeah.
Will I go with the beast until someone wrangles it?
Yeah.
Or will I drop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a crapshoot.
Sure. And what did you choose?
I dropped.
You dropped. Now, when you... I mean, you know, we're being silly about this, but you really could have been seriously, seriously injured, if not killed.
Horrifically mangled, at
yeah.
the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you landed on your back. Did you get stepped on?
I landed on my back, hit the deck pretty hard. And the one thing that saved me was the horse's instinct to lift his front legs and go over me.
Stepped over you.
Stepped over me. Had he not,
it was
coming straight down into the head.
Yeah. Broken ribs, strains, bruises, anything?
No, he just kind of clipped me with his back leg, so it was just a little sore.
Just kind of clipped you with his back leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good horse will do that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But honest to God, where are the stunt people, for heaven's sakes? You're Tonto.
Yeah.
You don't need that. Well,
exact same question I asked.
Yes.
You're Tonto, for God's sake.
Now, every horse person's been in that situation where they see those muscles from the side of the horse. You know, so you could relate to what he was talking about. And apparently, when we saw some of the trailers, they were doing some scenes where they were full out gallop. So I assume that's one of the ones. This movie has been plagued with problems. They actually suspended filming for a period of time. They had a crew member that was injured. They had a stunt diver that was killed during production, and they had other injuries. So it's been a troublesome movie as far as injuries are concerned. So they were fortunate. Can you imagine what insurance they carry on Johnny Depp?
Oh, no, I can't even imagine. He's worth more than any of us can imagine as far as insurance purposes go. So, yeah, fun. Here you go.
He's one of those guys, I've watched interviews with him, he's one of those guys, I can't decide if I like him as a person. I love him as an actor. But, when you see interviews with him, he's kind of got this halting speech, and I just can't decide whether I actually like him or whether he's the kind of guy you'd want to have dinner with, or he'd come away just being a total jerk. You know, I don't know. Do you have an opinion?
I kind of think of him as one of those actors who's been an actor so long that he's lost touch with reality and thinks of himself as more of a god than a person. Like, he graces you with his presence.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I could be wrong. He could be, like, the nicest guy in the world. But with all the interviews I've seen, he's kind of a weird dude. He isn't married. He's got some sort of weird island thing going on. I don't think he has touch with reality at all.
When you see him, when you saw the outfit he was wearing for this interview, you would agree with that.
Think that he actually thinks he's a pirate.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Who did impress us, we talked about it earlier in the show, was Hugh Jackman during this Inside the Actor Studio. You know, some of the, I love Inside the Actor Studio because you really get to know the person. And, you know, Hugh Jackman is very intelligent, very well educated, and did an excellent job in this interview for the acting students that were in the audience. Of course, Jennifer and I, having been actors, are interested in that anyway. But he some of the things he said, we just went, yes. You know, he is very intelligent. I was very impressed, actually, in that interview that he did. So I'm a Hugh Jackman fan now, too, is what I'm trying to say.
So does that mean you're going to watch the movie Les Mis?
No. Not a chance. Not a chance.
Oh, maybe we'll watch Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. Yeah, he was in Happy Feet.
Wow.
He went from Happy Feet to Les Mis.
Y'all are amazing. Amazing. Hit the button, Glenn, quick. Hit the button.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Jamie, it's good to have you back. Wednesday we will be playing Wheel of Trivia, so be sure to write down our phone number and give us a call and get in line on Wednesday morning. It'll be a lot of fun.
We're going to ask questions that are like, name all 50 states in alphabetical order in under 5 seconds.
That's it. Everybody, they get it. Our listeners are just smart. We have to accept that fact.
I know. They're way smart, and it'll be horse-related questions, but anyway, everybody.
And we have some terrific prizes. We'll be posting about that on our Facebook page as well. As well as Really Bad Ads is going to be here back on Friday, as usual. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We had some really, really good ones last week. So see if you can outdo those ones that were sent in last week. And thanks again to Yudi for sending us the goodies. We enjoyed that. I'm going to figure out where to put them.
Everybody, thank you for listening. Hey, before you let us go here, I want you to know that Johnny Depp. No, you can play it, but Johnny Depp is very out of touch with reality. You could tell by the way he said hooves that he is clearly clueless. Clueless. And he thinks he's British.
You just said he's the god and obviously knows how to say it, so on you.
I don't think that's what I said. Pretty sure that's exactly the opposite of what I said.
Who?
Whatever. Who? He's crazy. Oh. He thinks he's British. He thinks he's a pirate.